Why don't you take your Bible tonight over the book of 1 John chapter 4 tonight. The way that song words what God done for us, and when I think of God, His Son not sparing. He could have spared Him, but He chose not to. And I really want to preach on that tonight. 1 John chapter 4, why should you stand to your feet? And I want to begin to read in verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Look at verse 19. And then the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we're certainly thankful tonight that You are great. Greater, more than what we can ever imagine and think about. And as Miss Jennifer said tonight, I'm so glad You think about us. Even in Your greatness, You consider us. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. But Lord, as we preach, I pray we might preach with the importance that this message really deserves as we preach about Your love. Not only the importance, but with fervor tonight that we might preach and have an unction from the Holy One. Lord, I would say tonight that probably just about everybody in this crowd here would be saved. But there may be somebody lost, and I pray You'd deal with their hearts and they'd come and trust You tonight. Tonight might be their night, and I pray they'd move. Just speak to their heart tonight. I pray if there's somebody here that has a need, I pray that need would be met and that You'd just help us while we might preach. We certainly need You. Save that sinner's nearest tale. These things will last in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I studied this message, I thought about the love of God. That's a big subject tonight. The second coming and the tribulation period is nothing big when you talk about the love of God. That's pretty big tonight. As she talked about, or that song talked about, that God, His Son not sparing. Boy, what love the Lord had for us tonight. I understand that God hates and God judges and the world just wants to focus on God's love. But I know that He hates and He judges, and I feel like that I wouldn't do my job tonight if I didn't tell you those things. I mean, these things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, are an abomination to Him. And so God does hate some things. And we know that He's going to judge things. Genesis 6, we know that He judged the whole world and found the whole world guilty other than Noah and his family. And He destroyed the whole world. Psalm 75, 7, but God is the judge. We understand that. And we know that in Revelation 20 that the Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge at the great white throne judgment. He's going to judge men and women in their sin for them rejecting Him. And so tonight I want you to make sure to understand that, see, the thing about God is He's perfect in everything that He does. He's perfect in His hatred. He's perfect in His judgment. But yet He's perfect in His love. He's perfect in His grace and His mercy. God is perfect in everything that He does. In 1 John 4 and 8, the Bible tells us in the latter part, for God is love. And I wish that I could give you the definition of love. I remember one time growing up, we talked about that in church, the church that I grew up in, that love is a feeling that you feel when you have a feeling for somebody. But love is more what God done for us at Calvary. Greater love hath no man than this, that he had laid down his life for his friends. So when little John over here talked about that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Can I tell you, from the very beginning, God loved us. It's hard for me to comprehend. It's hard for me to grasp and understand, knowing what I am and what I was, that God would still love me in my sin. From the very beginning. You realize that Christ Jesus came to love and die for sinners, don't you, tonight? I mean, that's what He came for. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so look, we're all sinners, still sinners tonight, just simply saved by grace. But God sent His Son to die for sinners. Do you realize it was the plan? And listen, I can't fathom and try to get into God's mind, but from the very beginning, I mean, before He ever spoke the worlds into existence, the love of God already existed for you and me, that He was going to send His very Son to die for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that. That He was what? When we look over there, we find that He talks about that it was from the foundation of the world that He done these things. Or before the foundation of the world. In verse 20, He said, who verily was foreordained, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before God ever spoke us here, the love of Christ was already evident tonight. I want you to think for just a minute in His plan of salvation. I listen that He left heaven for me and you. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. He gave up everything to come and die for me and you tonight. When He left heaven, He knew exactly what He was facing. When He left heaven, He knew that He was going to have to face that Roman cross. He knew that He was going to have to go there. But friend, He knew that not only He was going to have to go there, but He was going to go there for me and you. That's where the love falls in that. Well, I get excited every time I think about that. That, listen, as He left heaven, He wasn't coming and dying at Calvary for His sake. He was dying for my sake. I mean, the Apostle Paul said that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. What love. Boy, I tell you, the songwriter had it right in the old Redback book about the love of God. When he talks about if every stalk on earth a quill and every man is scribed by trade. Said there was no way that if the heavens was a scroll up there, it talks about if the ocean was the ink, I said there is no way that man I could write enough, have enough ink, have enough scroll, enough heaven to write about the love of God. What still amazes me is the love that He had to come and die. Romans 5 and 8 said, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What love. Little John had it right, and this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Listen, anyone don't say that we might live through Him. But think about that for a minute. The fellowship, and you know, Jesus talks about the fellowship that He had with the Father. I believe it's in the book of John. He talks about the fellowship that He had when He was in glory. Listen, He gave up the fellowship. God the Father sent Him to die for us. I cannot comprehend that. That is incomprehensible to know that the God in heaven sent His only Son, who was God Himself, to die for me. You know, salvation's personal tonight, ain't it? Salvation's personal. One of the greatest verses we ever learned in Scripture was John 3:16, where the Bible said that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only did He come and listen, not only did God send Him, and boy, can you imagine that discussion in heaven? I mean, my mind thinks about that stuff sometimes. I reckon they sat on the throne up there in heaven and Him on the right hand, and they sat there and they talked about this thing. I think they did. I think they really did. Why? Hey, because Moses and Elijah come up, and that out of paradise, up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were talking about Calvary. I'd like to know what that conversation was about. I think, you know, you got the law and the prophets represented on the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe the Lord Jesus was telling them, boys, get ready, we're about to move here. You can believe what you want to, but I believe that's what they were talking about. I'm the one that was promised, Jesus was telling them. Boys, the one that you talked about all the time, that you were prophesying and all the time, Moses, that you got the law and you said there was going to be one like you, but then listen to him. That's me, Moses. That's me. But little John said that in this was manifested. You know the word manifested means brought forth or to be seen or a light shined on, the love of God toward us. But when Jesus stepped out on the scene, you know, He had a peculiar and an interesting life to start with. Anybody that gets heaven to declare that they're here, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. The angels rolled back heaven and sung Him here that night. Listen, and you know, He had an interesting life. Listen, a peculiar life. All the time that He was here, no doubt people looking at Him and wondering about Him. But then when He was about 30 years old, He makes His He steps out on the scene at about 30. And starts His ministry. And then when He's 33, somewhere around 33 and a half, they take Him to Calvary and hang Him up. Because they hated Him. You know, all Jesus ever done was good, but yet they hated Him. All Jesus ever done was heal people. Right? Forgive people. Well, reckon how that woman that was taken in the very act of adultery in John 8 felt when, listen, here comes Jesus. They drag her up there to Jesus and say she was taken in the very act of adultery. I'm wondering if He was going to condemn her too. And by the time it's all said and done, He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? And she looked around and said, there are none here. And He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That was a big statement when Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Well, Romans 8 talks about there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Jesus died, went to Calvary because of His love for me and you. Ain't you glad He loves you tonight? Sometimes I wonder where we'd be without Him. We'd be dying lost and going to hell is where we'd be at tonight. And some of you would be in hell tonight had it not been for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight that in the love that He had for us and in the action of His love, if you look at the text verse in verse 10, here is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent, there that word is again, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. The word propitiation meaning that He appeased the wrath of God. You go back to chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I tell you tonight, Jesus not only loves you, but Jesus loves the whole world. Now think about that for just a second. Jesus loves the whole world. He loved the whole world. He loves the whole world, and He will love the whole world. In other words, the sinners of the past He loved, the sinners of today He loved, and the sinners of tomorrow He still loves. That's hard to grasp. When we sing that old song, you teach them to our children that Jesus loves the little children of the world. That is such a true song. Such a true song. I know God is angry with the wicked every day. I know He hates the wicked. I understand that. And I know the wrath of God, according to John 3:36, abides on them. I know that. But God still loves sinners. He came, and what Christ done at Calvary, appeased, and that the wrath of God for our sins. Remember what I started preaching on, that there's none good, no, not one, according to Romans 3:10, that He came and that He died for sinners. Listen, there was none of us that was good enough and that to please or appease God, but in His love, He sent us a way out. God was mad at us and angry with us because of what Adam done and Him knowing from the very beginning what Adam was going to do. But yet He sent us a way out. Our sin was imputed to Jesus at Calvary. That means that God put our sin on Him. I can't understand that. I can't understand why He would go to the Roman whipping post. I cannot understand why He would take my beating. I cannot understand why He would suffer and bleed and die for me. I cannot understand why He would let them and take Him and hang Him up at Calvary and mock Him and spit on Him and pluck His beard out and then die for me. I cannot understand that. But little John said it was the love of God that caused Him to do that. If you've never experienced the love of God, then you don't know what you're missing. Nobody's ever loved me like Jesus loved me. My mom and daddy love me, I have no doubt about that. And I believe my wife loves me, and I believe most of y'all in here tonight, I hope all of you in here tonight love me, but I'm going to tell you, nobody ever loved me like Jesus loved me. He's the only one that's ever not only went to Calvary, but He took my sin and my beating upon Him. The plan of salvation, we see His love. He was willing to come and die. You say, well, He knew He was going to live again, and He did know that. He understood that. But friend, He had never been separated from the Father. He had never known sin. He had never known any of these things. Imagine at Calvary, the love that He had for me and you, knowing that the Father was going to, at that one spot in time, was going to forsake Him. So how did He know that? Is that not what David prophesied over there? You find it in the book of Psalms where David said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And hanging at Calvary, God reached over and turned the lights out. And as He hung in a bloody mess, just barely living, He knew God had forsook Him. And He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You can believe what you want to, but I believe that was the very time that God imputed our sin to Him. And He looked away from Calvary. Earthquake happened, the sun refused to shine. Seems like people would have got an idea of something different was going on, wouldn't they? That this was no ordinary man, that this was no ordinary death that was taking place that day at Calvary, that something special was going on. Manifested the love of God toward us because God sent His Son into the world. And then He said that we might live through Him. Not only is it the plan of salvation, but it is the action of salvation itself. And what I mean by that is the offer of salvation still stands today in His love. He'll save anybody. It just wasn't the New Testament saints that He would save, but He'll save anybody that'll come to Him. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, one of my most favorite scriptures in verse 20, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear My voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with Me." You know, the one thing that I love about salvation, there's many, but you know, the one thing that I love is there was a night that He knocked on my heart. And I tell you tonight, church, I do not remember what the preacher preached that night. I don't remember what went on in that meeting. I don't remember anything, but I do know that somewhere in that meeting that night, God smote my heart. I didn't go to church. To be honest with you, I didn't go to church that night to get saved. I went to church because that's what we done. I mean, that's just what we done. My mom and dad took us to church. I didn't go there that night to get saved, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord found me there. And that's what He does. He finds you where you are, and then He knocks on your heart, and He begins to deal with you. I think it's love tonight, friend, when God comes by, the Almighty God, that song talked about, the one that spoke the world into existence, the stars into existence, that God cared enough to send His Son, but then not only that His Son died, but then not only that, then He comes and knocks on our heart and convicts us and convinces us that we're sinners tonight. Well, you're talking about love. He wants you to have a personal experience with Him. And then not only does He want you to have a personal experience, but then He wants you to have a personal relationship with Him. 1 John chapter 2, you go back in verse 12, and He said, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." You know, when I got saved, my sins were forgiven. Now, that's forgiven at Calvary. All sin was taken care of at Calvary. But you know, that night I come and got saved, it did get wiped clean. The slate got wiped clean. But you're talking about love. Why would God send His Son? Why would His Son want to save you? Think about that for just a second. Why? Why? I get very introspective sometimes, and that gets a little dangerous. That means you're looking inward. You keep looking enough, and you'll get yourself in trouble sometimes. But I ask myself that question from time to time. What did God see in me that He wanted to save me? He didn't see nothing in me. He seen it all in His Son. Because He said we were forgiven for His name's sake. It wasn't me. It wasn't anything good I done. It was all good that He done. And He saved us for His name's sake because He loved us. I'm still amazed at that today. The action of salvation is He will save any sinner that will come. We look back through the Gospels and you find a man by the name of Legion that Jesus went out there and met over in the Gadareans, and he ran to Jesus when he got off that boat. You realize that, don't you? Jesus showed up and Legion ran to Him. Why? Legion knew there was something different about this man. You ever get introduced to this man, you'll figure out there's something different about him. He cares for you in spite of yourself. He loves you in spite of yourself. Well, if we could get the world to see that God actually does love them through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He would save them. But see, the problem is the world wants to be loved in the shape that they're in and not have to change. He's going to love them in the shape that they're in. But when they get saved, something's going to happen. Think about blind Bartimaeus. When he heard that Jesus came by, he got to hollering over there, didn't he? He said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." What I want to know is, how did he know Jesus was the son of David? Somebody had to tell him something. What about when the Lord met Peter for the first time, jumped in his boat and said, "Cast out and go a little bit out there, Peter." And Jesus done his teaching. And then he said, "Go over here and let's go get some fish." And he said, "We've toiled all night, but at thy word we'll do it." And boy, I mean, they dropped and caught some fish, and Peter realized what he was. And he says, "Get away from me, for I'm a sinful man." But you know, the Lord changed Peter. Peter was just an old rough fisherman that Jesus saved. Think about Saul of Tarsus, the one who persecuted and murdered the church. He wasn't looking for God either in Acts chapter 9, but boy, God sure enough found him. Where did God find you at? He's found people everywhere. I got a buddy of mine, he found him 3 o'clock in the middle of working night shift one night. He had to leave the work and go find the preacher. Find you in church, find you at home. He finds Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, going to kill and imprison Christians. He found the Philippian jailer over there asleep in the middle of an earthquake and disturbed him and woke him out of his sleep. And he come running in there and just sprang in with a light and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm still amazed at the action of salvation is what it is, that, listen, it's the love of God that deals with sinners. We get them letters from Brother Larry and from Brother Peters and from Brother Powell talking about going to the jails and to the prisons and preaching. And those men and women, as vile as some of those crimes that they committed and some of those actions they had, that God would see fit to save those men and women. I'm still amazed at that. But me and you were no better than the worst prisoner out there. We were still dying and going to hell. But because of His love, He sent the Holy Spirit to knock on your heart. I'm glad I've got a night that I remember. And even if I don't remember, it won't change anything. Ain't that good? God, listen, if God got Alzheimer's and forgot, He's got it pinned down. I love that. If God forgot, it won't matter. It's pinned down in heaven. Heaven's penman that night I got saved, wrote my name down. Ain't that good? The action of salvation in His love is that He will save anybody. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Some men count slackness, but His own suffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe that tonight. I believe it's God's will that all get saved. In His love, we find not only it in the plan of salvation and in the action of salvation, but then in the care of the saved. And what I mean by that is, He just didn't save us and put us out on our own. You know, there's no song that says He didn't leave us the way that He found us. He did change us. I am different than the world. I'm no longer a child of the devil, but I'm a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I listen tonight. I'm different than what I used to be. And He looks at me different than He looks at the world tonight. Every one of you mom and dad sitting in here tonight look different at your children than you do somebody else's child. They're your children. You love somebody else's child. And if that child needed something, I have no doubt you would do whatever it took to see that they got it. But when it came to yours, you would do whatever it took. First John chapter 3, by the way, if you ain't figured out so far, First John is full of the love of God. He said in chapter 3 verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." He loved us enough that He calls us the Son of God, the children of God. That's how much He loves you. He claimed, you know, there's probably been times in my life that, and I've done things that my daddy said, boy, I wish I didn't have to claim him. But He claims us. I want you to think for just a second the love that God has for you and the watchfulness that He watches over you. How many of you moms and dads have set up when your children have been sick? And even though setting up was not going to help them get well, you still watched over them just in case they needed you. You know, I read this morning that, you know, the God that is our help will not slumber. And the God of Israel will not slumber nor sleep. He's ever watching us. Listen, He's ever got a watchful eye upon us and will take care of us. Think about that love tonight. How much love He has in keeping us. He keeps us from Satan. He keeps us from the devil. There's been many times, no doubt, that Satan would have tried and probably did try to destroy you and destroy your home and destroy your testimony, but God helped you and kept you. No doubt He's probably tried to destroy you physically, but God kept you and watched over you. Think about how much God loves you and the blessings that He's gave you. Let me ask you, Mom, I compare this to moms and dads so much because He is our Heavenly Father, but how many times have you done something for your children simply because they were your children? They may not even have asked for it, but you know that they would like it, so you done it. Maybe it was simply just taken to get an ice cream. You know that they would like some ice cream from the dairy barn, so you just thought to yourself, I'll just go through here and we'll get us an ice cream. I like ice cream. It don't like my sinuses too much, but I like ice cream. If they were open, we'd go tonight. Amen. But think about the blessings. Now, I'm not talking about answering your prayers in a need. I'm talking about God giving you things that you want tonight. I'm talking about God doing something for you that He didn't have to do. Or that you didn't deserve to give. And we don't deserve anything. But I think y'all understand there's needs in our lives that God's going to provide. But then there's some things we just want. You can call it coincidence. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I call it God just being good to me. I remember the night we go through the Crystal's drive-in, drive-through out there. And my wife ordered one of them little hot dogs with her meal. And I remember thinking to myself, boy, I'd like to have one of them little hot dogs with my meal too. Don't you like them little hot dogs and little chili? Man, they're good. You know, we get up there, the girl put two of them in our bag instead of one. And we told her, and she said, well, just take it with you. You call it coincidence, you call it whatever you want to. But I believe the Lord kind of worked on that right there. Because you know what? It just made me happy to get to eat one of them little chili hot dogs. Let me ask you something. How much does God love us when we mess up? You know, God would be justified in the times that we've messed up if He wiped us out. But in His love, He don't throw us away. He chastens us because He loves. You know, what did He say? Those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. He does those things, but He don't throw us away. But He would be justified if He did. What love the Father has. And this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. God don't love us because we loved Him. God loved us in spite of us loving Him. Every Bible denier and God denier out there tonight, God still loves them and will save them if they'll come. But I'm glad tonight, church, I got saved. And He loves me, not as a sinner anymore, but He loves me as a son, as a child. And that's a far different cry. I still love Calvary. I love to sing about Calvary and talk about Calvary. I love to just sit down and think about it and cry about Calvary. I think it deserves for us to get emotional if you want to know the truth. I think it really does. Because at Calvary is where my sin got took care of at. It got wiped clean at Calvary. They so much took place at Calvary, we can't even fathom it tonight. But I do know that His love was shown at Calvary. But His care for us. His care for us. Imagine, church, tonight, how much care and how much love the Father has for us. That He wants to be your friend and my friend. That He wants to listen to you. That He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. What love He has for us. Let's bow our heads tonight.